Welcome to Yakko Yaks, episode number 8, Batman v Superman, Too Fast, Too Furious. Welcome to Yakko Yaks, the podcast where I talk about whatever's on my mind, be it pop culture, technology, my dog, just whatever I want to talk about. I'm your host, Jeremy, and this week I want to start out by talking about that Batman v Superman trailer that came out. I grew up being a huge Superman fan, and I read the comics pretty much from high school through probably into college, and at some point I dropped off just for lack of funds, but I mean, I kept following online, and they really kind of pushed me away with the whole New 52 changes, but I would still say I'm a Superman fan. Man vs. Steel was just not my favorite Superman movie at all. It had its bits that I liked, but there was just a lot in that movie I didn't like. And looks like they're continuing with the stuff I didn't like with this new movie. With the trailer that just came out, really seems like they were rushing a lot of things. Actually, before I get really into it, I want to play a clip from the MajorSpoilers.com podcast. They were talking about it, and one of the hosts, Rodrigo, he went into it a little bit, and it summed up a lot of my thoughts. So I want to play this clip, and then I'll come back and talk some more.
They're still scared. They're terrified. They are still terrified to have their heroes be who they actually are. You know, this is not who Superman is. This Superman appears in Elseworlds stories. It appears on imaginary stories. This is the Superman of The Dark Knight Returns. This is not the Superman that you find in any mainstream Superman comic. And Warner Brothers is still terrified of showing an actual Superman because they think it's stupid.
And I think that last bit is probably the crux of the problem. Warner Brothers is afraid to really embrace the core competencies of their characters. Whereas you see Marvel with someone like Captain America, full on bright colors, kind of hokey attitude towards everything. I mean, they're embracing what makes their characters, you know, what people love about their characters. They're modernizing and they're changing some things, like changing little bits in the backstories. But when you look at the core of the character, you see Captain America in the movies and you're like, yeah, that's Captain America. You see Superman in Man of Steel, whether it's not using his powers to save his adopted father or whether it's tearing up Metropolis in that fight with Zod, and you're like, this is not Superman. This is a character wearing the costume of Superman, but this is not Superman. I mean, I'm not even going to get into the fact that he, you know, broke Zod's neck and killed him, because even though Superman really doesn't kill in the comics, he has been known to when there's no other option, and I can give him that. But just the mass destruction without really caring what happens, that is something I had a problem with. And I mean, Superman is not as violent as what we're seeing in the Snyder movies. And like Rodrigo said in that clip, this is, well, and we've heard in the media, a lot of the story is based on the Dark Knight comics, which is not really mainstream, you know, in the mainstream continuity. And that kind of worries me about this DC cinematic universe basing so much on that Dark Knight series. And it really looks like they're trying. I said this on Twitter last week, or maybe it was Facebook, I can't remember, but they're trying to get to the point Marvel is now with, you know, Marvel has a very solid cinematic universe. They're, you know, they're able to do a lot of things because of the dues they paid by putting out the first Iron Man movies, and you know, they built it up in a very organic way. So they're able to do a lot of stuff now because we have this basis of all the Phase One movies and everything, it seems like Warner Brothers is trying to do the same thing with the DC Cinematic Universe, but they're wanting to go straight to where Marvel is now without putting any of the work, you know, in that Marvel had put in. And that's just, that's a problem. I mean, you know, how I would fix it, if we were able to take Batman versus Superman and, you know, just go back to before, you know, production started and say, okay, yeah, Man of Steel happened. That's going to be the basis of this universe. What are we going to do to go from here? I would still do the Batman versus Superman movie because you want to get Batman out because he's really your most popular character right now. But make it a more simple movie. I mean, one of my issues with how they're presenting Superman is the general public at large sees him as that alien that destroyed most of Metropolis. He needs to spend some time doing good works, stopping criminals, build up the people's trust. And they really need to, if I were to make this movie, I would spend a good portion of the beginning of that movie with that. I mean, you know, you have scenes with Clark and maybe even build it up. Like, he's a reporter. He finds out about, you know, something happening. And suddenly Superman is over there, saves the day. I mean, it's the classic Superman stuff. But he needs that to build the trust of the people, to kind of build the trust of the audience that, okay, this is now more like the Superman that we know and love. And then also kind of reference somehow the rumors of this Batman guy in Gotham, where no one seems to see him, but, you know, everyone knows that there's some vigilante in Gotham, but it's just rumors. And, you know, just kind of have that in there in that beginning part, but then have, you know, when you introduce Bruce, you see he's affected by the loss of the employees from the fight Man of Steel because he had the building in Metropolis as well. And I mean, we've seen that in the trailers, so they are going to have some of that in as the basis of the new movie. But have Superman go to Gotham to stop some criminal or to save people from a disaster or something, and then have Batman confront him and warn him to stay out of Gotham. And then have a scene similar to what we've seen in the trailer with Lex introducing Bruce and Clark to each other. And in this, don't have Clark be a doofus saying, who's that guy? When you're a reporter, you know who Bruce Wayne is. So Clark already knows who he is because he's famous. But he also knows he's Batman because in their previous encounter, he uses X-ray vision to see who's under the mask. But being Superman and not really wanting to get on Batman's bad side more than you already are, you aren't going to let on that you know, and you're not going to use it, you know, right now, but you know who he is. And, have something like have Clark and Bruce, you know, Lex Luthor is portrayed as a good guy initially. Have Clark and Bruce both secretly looking into him. You know, Clark from a reporter side, he gets a sense that something's going on, so he's looking into him for an expose. And then have Bruce looking into him just because he's a rival in business, and he also doesn't trust him. And then Lex does something that Batman and Superman are both investigating. And while they're investigating, they run into each other. They see that they have a common goal at this point, so they're working together. And through that, they build a trust with each other. Whatever happens with Lex, he's defeated by both of them. He's exposed as a criminal. You have the basis of Batman and Superman being able to work together. They might not be the best of friends, but they know when they need each other for something like this, they can trust each other. And that would be the basis of this shared universe. You now have Superman as the character we expect him to be. You have the relationship with Batman. And through this, you could lay hints to some of the things that are coming up, like the Justice League characters that are going to be introduced, the bigger thing like Doomsday, which I'm going to get back to in a second. Have reference to Wonder Woman during the movie with old press clippings from like World War One, which I think the new movie is going to be set at least partially in World War One. So have old press clippings where it's referencing Wonder Woman, or, you know, however they're going to do it. and then in the post-credit scene, have her actually appear. And then have the Cadmus Project referenced somewhere, or referenced in the movie, and reference that they have, I'm saying reference a lot, wow, but mention that they have Zod's body, and mention that it's related to this Project Doomsday that would stop Superman if he ever goes rogue. Over the next few movies, continue to lay hints to that Project Doomsday thing, and maybe even have the Parasite, who's one of Superman's villains that can absorb energy and stuff, have him be introduced, and then have Cadmus acquire him somehow, because his powers would be helpful for that project. You know, things like that. And then maybe hold off Doomsday until Man of Steel 3. You've laid a bigger foundation. He's a bigger threat. I mean, look at what Marvel is doing with Thanos. We still haven't seen the big payoff with Thanos yet. He's been hinted in, you know, two or three movies now at least.
So I think DC should do the same thing with Doomsday, or at least a similar thing with Doomsday that Marvel's doing with Thanos. It just it makes sense to you know, lay the groundwork, kind of pay your dues with the storytelling, and it gives a better base. So anyway, I mean that's my thoughts based off of the first Man of Steel trailer that we've seen, and really just my thoughts of how I would have built out this DC universe. I know it's not going to happen. I think another trailer was recently released, like in the last day or so, and there've been news stories saying how the movie Flash is going to be make an appearance in the film, and it's just DC is just trying to really rush into this, in my opinion. But anyway, let's move on to what DC is actually doing right. You know, Flash and Arrow had their big crossover episodes last week, and I really enjoyed them. I really enjoy when they do these crossovers among the different shows, and it, you know, you don't have to wait a week for the conclusion. You just have to wait till the next day, and I really like that. It was nice to see that some of the individual plot points in each show that was not directly connected to the crossover was actually, they were continued. But the crossover story itself was pretty good. I was a little surprised that we didn't have any Rip Hunter at all. I guess that they are saving him for the actual Legends of Tomorrow premiere. But the introduction of Hawkman, and then, finally getting Hawk Girl all in her costume, I thought was good. The costumes actually didn't look as kind of campy as I thought. I was afraid that they were going to look. Some of the promo pictures we'd seen, it just didn't look like it would play as well in live action as it does in comics or animation. But I thought it looked pretty good. Obviously, with the end of it, with what Merlin did, that definitely, I think, is how they're going to, he's going to be a big part in kicking off Legends of Tomorrow. It was one thing that did kind of, you know, it, one thing that did just not sit well with me was the whole thing with Barry's speed. I mean, you're saying he's not fast as he used to be because of the thing with Zoom, but then he was still fast enough to go back in time in this episode, which I would think would be close to the top speed if you're breaking the time barrier. And hopefully they do explain that with the rest of the season. I think we definitely need more interaction between Garrick and Wells. The little bit we got in the Flash episode, it was good seeing Jay Garrick back, but it just, they have a good chemistry, and I want to see more of that. I thought the thing with Oliver and Felicity, that is definitely going to have a bad payoff later in the season. And it's Oliver being Oliver. And you kind of wish the characters could just have a happy ending, but it doesn't seem like Oliver is ever slated to have a happy ending. Probably my favorite line in the whole thing, in the whole crossover, was Thea's line when the Flash saved Team Arrow, and she was like, wait, did I know we knew the Flash? Did Actually, I think I have it right here.
It's the Flash. Did I know we knew the Flash? We knew the Flash. Okay. I didn't know we knew the Flash.
So yeah, that was my favorite single line from the two-parter. Just her confusion, because she hadn't had any interaction with the Flash yet, so it made sense. So anyway, it was a good crossover from everything I've heard about ratings. It was very highly, like, the ratings were very high, especially with the Arrow. So I would love to see more of these crossovers. I don't know if they're planning to have more than one a season, but hopefully they can do more, especially with a third show in the mix. You can have two of the three shows crossover. Well, I mean, assuming the Legends of Tomorrow is in the present day and not the future or the past. But anyway, that was my thoughts on the crossover without getting very spoilery. The last thing I've seen lately, my wife and I actually got a babysitter and got to go and see Spectre over the weekend. And I thought it was really fun. Daniel Craig is probably my favorite Bond at the moment. I didn't enjoy it as much as I was expecting to, probably primarily for the torture scenes. They have these torture scenes in all of the Daniel Craig Bonds in particular. And I don't know, they're just a little bit too realistic to me. I don't know. I've never been able to watch even medical shows like ER. Just, I'm a little squeamish. So that was made it suffer for me, but it was a fun movie. The car was awesome. It did pull in little bits from all of the previous Daniel Craig movies. And now it makes me want to rewatch them. Even Quantum of Solace, which is probably my least favorite of his movies, but it was fun. I was really happy to be able to get out and see a movie. That just the fact that we got a babysitter was great. So that probably, you know, added a little bit of enjoyment. All right. On to a little bit of feedback. I got just one comment on the last show from Dinobot Maximize, who he commented how he'd never thought about watching Star Wars in a different order. And so he's going to also give the Machete Order. He's going to try it out. So that, you know, hopefully he enjoys it too. And he asked, other than Star Wars and Star Trek, are there any other sci-fi series I like? He's a big Babylon 5 fan. I never actually got into Babylon 5. Enjoy Firefly. I like the Stargate movie, and I enjoyed episodes of SG-1 that I've seen, but it was never one of the shows that I had to watch every week. I've tried to get into other sci-fi shows, but recently there hasn't been really that much that's really been good on TV in terms of sci-fi. But I don't know. I would really say Flash is probably my favorite sci-fi show right now. But I'm looking forward to the new Star Trek show that's going to be coming out, I think, in 2017. But I don't know. It's just there's not really that much good sci-fi, in my opinion, right now. I wish there was more. But that's pretty much it. So thanks for sending me that comment. And if anyone else wants to comment, I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on on this episode. You know, what do you think about my feelings on the DC movie universe, or on the Flash Arrow crossover, or even Spectre? Just let me know. You can contact me on Twitter at YAKK0DOTORG, or leave a comment on the post on the website at YAKK0.org. So thanks everyone for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Yakko Yaks podcast. I'd love to hear what you thought about the show. Please go to yakk0.org and leave a comment on the post for this week's show. If you'd prefer more real-time feedback, you can also find me on Twitter as YAKK0DOTORG. If you'd like to help support the podcast, please use my Amazon affiliate link at YAKK0.org/Amazon. And also, please tell people about the show. Thanks. The music used in the podcast's opening and closing is from bensound.com.